All right, we're live. Let's have some fun. Let's talk some recruiting and dive deeper into this game and have some therapy. So let's get it.
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the book, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off. And you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir, we're back. It's another Live with C5, Sunday night, 8 o'clock, Central Standard Time, just like we're going to do every single week, win, lose, or draw. We're going to talk recruiting. We're going to get into you guys are going to want to talk more about the game. There's going to be some things that made you mad. There's going to be some definite things to talk about. I'm going to open it up to you. I start off with my little diatribe that I go on. I want to give you guys some recruiting updates. The recruiting aspect of this whole thing, this whole season, is just mind blowing. It's really crazy how well it's going, considering everything that's going on, hearing a lot of what the recruits have to say. We're going to dive into all of that. But before we get started, give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code NEXTROUND for a double up deposit bonus. Whatever you put in, they're going to double it up to give it back to you. So hit that sports book however you like to bet, they have it. Teasers, parlays, whatever, doesn't matter. They have it. First half, second half, live betting, they got it all. So check them out, mybookie.ag. So look, I know it was not fun. Okay. I know this weekend was not fun. And I know that the sky's falling and all that good stuff. And I'm not sure that I 100% disagree with all the negative feelings. It's definitely been tough to watch, but for whatever reason, this dadgum recruiting class just keeps sticking together. Not only do they keep sticking together, they all say a lot of the same things. We see the vision. It's a rebuild, things like that. And then on top of it, you're close to picking up some more commitments. It's really remarkable. It's really remarkable what they've been able to do. I mean, typically you saw Florida last year fold completely, and their class melted away as well. Now, a lot of that was Florida's fault. And their alumni saying they've raised the money for the buyout and all this good stuff and not really giving a vote of confidence behind Billy at all. And it's cost them. And now their class this year is poor too, even when they're playing a little bit better football and they have a little bit a chance to have a little bit better record than they did last year. This class is solid, man. It's really crazy. I'm just going to throw out a few things, few quotes. Jared Smith, other schools are bearing down on Jared Smith. Okay. Just understand that every day it's the sharks smell the blood in the water with Jared Smith. And he's like, I they're calling me every day, but I don't care. I see the vision. I'm locked in. That's one of your top players in the whole class. Naheem Offord was here this past weekend, which was a big visit. You wish you could have had a little bit better product. Well, the product he saw on defense was great. You'd wish you could have got the win, but he said, you know, the loss, it doesn't really matter. If I'm being real, it's just rebuilding. That's all it is. I mean, they straight up ask him, how does this loss play into your – this came from 247 Sports. That, you know, basically, how does this loss play into your recruitment? And it doesn't. It doesn't matter at all, actually. If I'm being real, it's just rebuilding. That's all it is. You have two twins from 2020 in the 2026 class, Aiden and Andrew Harris, I believe from North Carolina. Aiden is the number one defensive tackle in the 2026 class. Andrew is a 4-star on some sites, 3-star on other sites, edge in the 2026 class. Both of them not only give glowing remarks, but Aiden seemed to insinuate that he may be close to pulling the trigger and it could happen as early as this week and that Auburn may be the spot. It's sort of mind blowing to see how well they're doing and how well they're selling this vision, because as fans, it's almost the opposite. We're struggling and it's completely understandable. It's just the defensive performance is helping. All these guys are defensive guys as well. So they obviously see these young guys making plays and their development and how it's been expedited. And if they come in, they get to obviously they could take part in that as well and get on the field early as well. Blake Woodby. I talked with Blake Woodby after the game. I'm going to go ahead and do a spoiler alert. Tomorrow morning show is going to be with Blake Woodby, and I think you guys are going to love it. You need to check it out. The things that he said really, really opened my eyes as far as the way those guys view things and the way the impact that DJ Durkin's having on the program. He's not worried at all. He's straight up said, it sucks, but I'm not worried about it in the least. You watch those young guys and the stuff that they're doing, and it's something special. It really is. What those young guys are doing on that defensive side of the ball, it's something special. I think it's going to be something special. So we'll have to see how obviously things play out. But you got Joseph Mbachu that was here this past weekend. I think his commitment seemed a little bit more imminent, but it looks like it may be a little bit later on. He may take some more visits, but also had a lot of glowing remarks. So the recruiting thing has just sort of blown me away. I can't believe you haven't had one decommitment yet on this run of losses. I can't believe somebody hasn't come out and said, I got to see more or whatever. You haven't had it at all. Now, it may still come. Like it does. Signing day isn't tomorrow. It's not far away. And you're closing in to where you're getting close to where it's under a month away. But still, it's kind of blowing me away. It's kind of blowing me away how solid these guys seem. And I think that's something to get a little bit excited about. I think that's something that you can kind of hang your hat on that, hey, look, you got this young class performing this year, even though it's not showing up in losses, not showing up in wins. And then you got another class coming in behind you. It's just, it really is remarkable how well this recruiting class is kind of hanging in there. Switching gears, I know portal is going to be a huge discussion. And I think we have to remember, I'm going to take this in a couple different directions. I want to remember the timing of that Will Redmond hire and his staff around that. That was after this past fall, this past December portal. Remember, he came in, I think he was hired in February. So the portal season that all those kids had enrolled, his first real crack that we've seen real Will Redmond work is this 2025 recruiting class, which is spectacular. And then the spring portal, which is typically not a very deep portal. That's not a very deep, as far as talent goes, not very deep. Okay. You're picking through the very, it's not a ton that you really have to pick through. And he landed KLS, who's our best receiver, arguably one of the better players on the team this year. Kieron Crawford, who is really coming on and playing really, really good football to the point where you may not even have to go get another edge rusher. You may just be able to roll with it. Roll with Kieron Crawford, roll with the young guys that you have, and you can probably make some noise, especially coming off the edge moving forward. And then obviously you got Isaiah Rakes, who's a big-time help you had to have. And a couple other guys that you added that have contributed and been decent players. That was his first real crack at it. So when we go into this fall, when we go into this winter portal, this is going to be Will Redmond's sort of time to shine. Okay, you're going to have high school signed. The high school class should be signed. And then it's going to be all out. What do you do? How do you build? How do you, I guess, give the fans, how do you give yourself, put yourself in position to where you can rebound next year? Because this year's been pretty putrid. And you've got to instill some confidence, and you got to instill some confidence quick. You got to get you got to get a blockbuster quarterback. And I think they are ready to do whatever they have to do. Do whatever they have to do to get a good quarterback. I hate to just say spend what you got to spend, but I think they're prepared this offseason with the structure off the field, and then obviously the NIL that they've been sort of pooling. I think they're ready to make some noise in the winter portal. So you got quarterback, obviously. I think the plan is to bring in a blockbuster offensive tackle too. So the best offensive tackle you can possibly get. Last year, your strategy was a little bit off and you missed on some guys that you really wanted because you didn't try to get that first visit. You wanted to get the last visit, like high school, and they ended up getting locked up before they could get to you. I think that's going to be different now. How does this offensive line look different if you land one of those two guys that you tried to get last year that I think went to Arkansas and Texas Tech? Who knows? You ended up with Percy Lewis, who's just struggled with learning the offense, struggled with learning assignments. It's just been rough. So I think quarterback, obviously, blockbuster, offensive tackle. They're going to need one linebacker. I think linebacker is definitely one you're going to watch to add one safety. And then maybe that may be it for that. That may be it outside of wide receiver. And I know people may be freaking out when you say wide receiver. Oh, does that mean we're going to lose a bunch of guys? Well, if you really think about it, there's going to be at least two wide receivers on this team that are going to be gone next year. I think one of them's probably going to be, you know what? I don't want to speculate on who it might be, but I think you're going to, because that's just not, I don't know. That's kind of tacky talking about who's guys on the team that may be leaving. But I think you're going to lose at least two wide receivers, and you're potentially only going to bring back five returning wide receivers. And most of those are all your young guys. So you're going to maybe need to bring in a veteran, at least one, to come and compete, maybe two. So that would be, I know this sounds crazy, but it just doesn't feel like, it really doesn't. It doesn't feel like you're that far off. I know I'm crazy. I know you look at the record, you're 3-6. It doesn't feel like you're that far off player-wise. It feels like this freshman class with one more year, a little bit more production out of your quarterback position, being able to shore up some offensive line issues. It just doesn't feel like you're that far off. And I really don't see just this massive, like you don't have to bring in 20 portal guys. I think if you bring in 8 to 12, or maybe not even 12, maybe 8 to 10 guys, I think you're good. I think you're good. And I think if you can really pounce on this December portal, you can get enough to make some noise right away. So when we talk about how far we are away, I don't see Auburn as just – now, you have to understand that I'm not excusing what we've just seen, okay, what we've experienced thus far, okay? I don't feel like we're that far off, though. You're losing games by very small margins, and you're losing games by very few possessions. And it's like if just a few more things can go your way, like one thing in each game, like what happens if you don't do the leveraging penalty and they just kick the field goal? Does Auburn have a chance to drive down and win the game? Does that change a lot of things? You got a ton of time left to do that. What happens if, obviously the Oklahoma interception? Like there's so many things where it's like if one thing were different in the game, like how does that game play out? I just don't feel like we're that far off. Yes, there's been some boneheaded decisions. Yes, there's been some play calling that's been, suspect, I guess, at times. I get it. You do some crazy things you do some crazy things when things aren't going your way. Some things that may be out of character, some things that maybe you wouldn't typically do. But regardless, I just don't feel like we're that far off, and I don't think you're going to see a massive portal class. I don't think you're going to see unless we just end up losing a bunch of kids, which I don't see that necessarily either. So we'll see what happens, but I want to get straight into the questions. I think it's time to let you guys shine and have some fun. So I'm gonna just go ahead and kick it into the questions and roll with it. Let's go with James Rutan, one of our regulars. No matter what, the inheritance of the Harsin dumpster fire recruiting / empty roster plus Freeze amazing recruiting justifies a year three of Coach Hugh Freeze. Okay, so basically what he's saying is, no matter what the record is, He feels like Freeze deserves another year based off of what he inherited and then obviously what they're building in recruiting. And I tend to agree. I understand there's some people that feel like what you see is has been so disgusting that you got to get rid of it right away. And I think that's some of that's probably warranted. But I just think you've built so much momentum and you've started this process of rebuilding you got to see at least 3 years. I would love to get to the point where we could just let something happen for 3 or 4 years, just let it go. And as long as they're doing the right things off the field, they're recruiting their tails off, they're acquiring a bunch of talent, doing what they got to do. I would love to see let's just step back and just let it happen. And then whatever happens, happens. Then you readjust and you move on. So I agree. I think he's going to get a third year, and I don't think there's really any jeopardy whatsoever that happens. All right, let's move on. Keep going. Let's see. I mentioned Napier. I think they played pretty well yesterday in NH3425. I honestly think Napier may have saved his job yesterday. He may have. This is kind of the same situation. Where would Napier be if last year they got behind him instead of started leaking rumors about, we've got the $26 million to buy him out? Where would they be? What happens if they don't lose Amaris Williams? What happens if they don't lose Jamonta Waller? What happens if they keep that class because they're solidified behind Billy Napier? He's doing fairly decent this year, but the recruiting's bad. I think they're like in 30th ranked in recruiting. They only have like 10 or 11 commits. Where would he be? They got DJ Lagway's an exciting kid, an exciting prospect who seems like he's a Florida guy that you could build around. Where would they be? I wonder that. But I agree. I think he may have saved his job yesterday. Let's keep going. I saw a really good question. Let's see. Jonathan Hubbard, at what point do we say, Hugh, what are you doing? You have enough talent now to win these games. And I think that's a fair question. I think that's a very, very fair question. But I like that you said that we do have the talent to win some of these games. And I agree. I think you do have the talent to win some of these games, and I think you're going to continue to add more talent. Clearly, based off the recruiting comments this past weekend and then this class and then what you can do in the portal, I think it's fine to ask those questions, but sometimes things are just – once they start going south, and you're so confident in the way you do things and you just see them not work out. And then you have to completely shift what you're doing away from what you're comfortable with. I think that's the biggest thing. I would have rather, after the Oklahoma game, I would have rather continued to do what you were doing all the way from the beginning of the season up to the Oklahoma game than what we've seen the shift to after that. What we've seen after the Oklahoma game is now I have to call a game to prevent turnovers. I have to call a game not to lose it. And I think that's tough. And I think it's the wrong decision. And that's easy for me to say because I'm not doing it. But I think if you're going to go down, you go down swinging. Go down. If you turn it over 3-4 times a game, to me, it was much more of an easy sell, especially to offensive players when you're throwing it for 300 yards a game. Even if you're throwing interceptions. And it's just, I think that I would have rather seen us kind of stick to what we were doing because the offense was explosive. The offense was working, and we kind of changed our philosophy, so to speak, to this more ball control, very slow paced, protect the ball deal. And you just sort of get in a shell and it goes to every single play has to be the perfect play call instead of just it organically sort of happening. That's kind of what's made Hugh great over the years on offense is just being able to go, go, go. And then it's just like, it's natural. It's like a reflex. So I agree. What are you doing? Go back to what made you, an attractive hire. Go back to what's made your offense explosive. Like, let's get out of this shell, man. Get out of the shell and just go rip it up and see what happens. All right, let's keep going. That's funny. Why? Well, War Eagle, why? He tries to – War Eagle, Wyoming, he tries to crack me up every time. He tries to get me laughing, and it works quite often. NH3425, Jay freaking Crawford and Riddick are the dang ballers. Yeah, they are. They're unreal. I thought Jay Crawford got hosed there at the end. I thought he got drugged down. It was an offensive pass interference, clear offensive pass interference. Riddick and Amaris Williams played great. Riddick put some licks on Pavia. He stuck Pavia several times. He's iced up today. He obviously got the win, but I think Auburn played him better than anybody's played him all year. They really made him feel it, made him earn it. And I think they averaged less than three yards a carry. It was like 2.5 yards a carry. So they really played well. They really put some heat on him. Let's see. This is a good question. War Eagle, Wyoming. What would our record be with Pavia at quarterback? Before I answer this question, I'm going to answer it directly. But I want everybody to remember, there's a lot of people that are saying, oh, Hugh could have had Diego Pavia. Hugh could have had this guy. Hugh could have had that guy. When you're talking about Pavia, Pavia's head coach went to Vanderbilt to be some sort of offensive Jerry Keel. He was getting out of coaching. He was older, going to Vanderbilt to get on that staff in some form or fashion. When Diego Pavia entered the portal, he entered the portal with a do not contact tag. Okay, so even if Hugh would have been interested in him, they couldn't because of that particular case. Like, you can't reach out to him. Only he can reach out to you. So he had the do not contact tag on. It was writing on the wall. He was going to go to Vanderbilt. I'm not saying that if the do not contact tag wasn't on there that we would have gotten him, but that's something we have to remember. Now, let's answer the question directly. I think Auburn would be 6-3 at worst. I really do. I think he's got the ability to he runs sort of that option. He runs that option offense where it's, you know, you got a lot of decisions you have to make in a very quick amount of time. He's not incredibly accurate, but he just has sort of like a clutch gene about him. I mean, the two throws that he made in that first half, he made two throws in the first half that were just unreal. Like, he converted on their very first drive. I think they ended up punting anyway. But on their very first – or no, maybe they scored – no, they didn't score on their first drive. Regardless, he made a really good throw on the run with people in his face, dropped it over like a corner route, dropped it in the bucket, and then the touchdown pass he threw early was a very, very phenomenal throw. And, again, it's kind of a goofy offense, but he runs it perfectly. And I think him being in an RPO offense, I think he would have been really, really good. And he's mobile enough and tough enough to not really worry about – he plays kind of with reckless abandon. It's a lot to admire about him. I mean, there's not much you can say about him. I mean, he plays hard. And I really think we would have been 6-3 at worst. I really do. I think obviously you win Cal, you probably win the Arkansas game. You probably win Oklahoma. You probably Georgia would have been tough. Who else? Missouri would have been a tough game, but, you know, that who knows? Who knows there? Again, 6-3 at worst, I think. You probably – it's probably where you'd be. So let's keep going. Let's see. I feel you, JD. I understand this. This is a very common feeling. If – number one runs out with the offense, I'm just turning the TV off and I'll go clean the gutters. I'm done with him. Look, I get it. I'll say this though. When your number's called, all you can do is go out there and do everything you can to make it happen. And I admire Peyton because I do think he plays hard. I just think he's limited. I think he's limited. I mean, even the touchdown pass, it looked hard. Like You know what I mean? Like, it's just, there's just some things that maybe this offense doesn't fit him very well. It's too much to have to process. And on top of that, like the, I don't want to say mental toughness, because physically he's tough. I know he's playing hurt. I know he played that second half hurt, but it's like when things are kind of not exactly as you think they're supposed to be, you struggle, you're inaccurate, little things like that. It's just, I totally get it. And I don't know anymore. I think Peyton, I used to say that I think Peyton gives you the best chance to win, but I think honestly now it's maybe just Peyton gives you the best chance not to get blown out, maybe. I don't know that he can win you a game. I really don't. So I don't know what you do now. I don't know. Do you scrap it and you go to the next guy? I get it if you do. It's just a weird situation because I just don't think the answer to – I don't think the answer at quarterback is – I don't think there is an answer to quarterback this year. I just don't think there is, unfortunately. I feel you right here, man. I wish we had KLS for one more year. I wish we could have a keeper. I wish you could have a keeper every year, and KLS would be my keeper for this year, because he's a stud. Let's go with this one. Matt Steele TV. I don't know what anyone says that's a natty champ defense. I watch a lot of trench play, the best D line and secondary in the SEC. Okay. I get what he's saying here. I don't care what anybody says. We have a national championship level defense. He watches a lot of trench play, and he feels like we have the best defensive line and secondary in the SEC. And I think there's a valid argument for that. I think that if you put that defense with a middle-of-the-road offense, if you put that defense and you pair it with a middle-of-the-road offense that's efficient, you're hard to beat, because they have a lot of, they're good at all the different levels. They're physical enough to be able to stuff the run in the middle. They're athletic enough on the edge to be able to rush the passer and, you know, spy the quarterback and set the edge and be able to have defenders that can do multiple things, like, you know, blitz the quarterback and then pick up a running back out of the flat. Like, they do a lot of things really, really well. And then the corners on the outside are just locked down. Jay Crawford's locked down. Kay and Lee can be locked down at times. You got a senior safety, Jaron Thompson, who's not super athletically gifted, but he just gets it done. And then you got Caleb Harris, there could be an argument he could be the best safety in the SEC. You got some really, really good players on this defense. I agree. I think this is a championship. I won't say national championship level, just because it's just impossible to know. But I would say this is a championship caliber defense, 1,000%. I totally, totally agree with you. Let's see here. Jonathan Hubbard, there'll be several teams going after a top portal quarterback with a better track record than two straight losing seasons. That might be a problem. The thing is, though, Jonathan, nobody cares. The players clearly do not care about the record. Like, they don't. The recruits don't care. They care about two things. Number one is probably going to be money. And then number two is, what do I have around me? And quarterbacks, those quarterbacks are going to come in, they're going to look, and they're going to have some five-star, very young freshmen that are moving up, that are explosive, that they can play with. And then can you sell them on an offensive line that you're going to build around them? And then are you going to bring in a portal guy as well? I think they just don't look at records. They just don't. They look at money and then what's around me. And I think that's it. And I think Auburn's ready to go all in for both. So let's keep going. This is a rumor that's been going around. C5, I heard Jimmy Rain was at the postgame press conference yesterday. Has he been at all of them, or is something up to throw all the money at a quarterback in the portal? He's been at every game. He was at the Oklahoma game. I saw him myself on the sidelines talking to Hugh Freeze. There's this narrative that he's ready to make a move. It's bogus. It's not true. He's been at every game. I've seen him at every game. It's just not true. I agree with this. I agree with this. Why Hugh's tenure at Auburn is going to come down to the QB he gets from the portal this year. If he gets another Peyton Thorne and goes 5-7, it makes it it makes year four questionable. I don't think he makes year four at 5-7. If you go get another quarterback and you have the same results, then you would be able to point to. I'm still in the mindset of I want to see a track record. I want to see a track record of bad success or like no success before I want to pull the trigger. And I think this would be a pretty substantial in the moment right now snapshot of what you have on offense. And if it happens again in year three, I would say that's a track record that you can't have. If you want to coach at this level, you want to be a playoff contender at this level. I agree. What he does in the portal this year is in this offseason is incredibly important. It will define his career. I'm trying to find my man, Thomas Jones. I saw him with the super chat coming in. I want to make sure I get that question. I want to make sure that I get that question for sure. Where is it? Have you hit it in yet, Thomas? If you haven't got it in yet, hit that question because I'm not finding it. I'm not finding it yet. So I'll come back to it. I'll be watching for when it comes in. This is another one. If Hugh is playing golf today, as rumor has it, he needs to be at the facility figuring out that pathetic offense. I think Hugh plays golf on a lot of Sundays. I don't know that it matters. I get it. I get the optics of it. I don't really know that it matters. I don't think they really you could play golf and still do some of the other things that you do on Sundays. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know that really matters. I can understand why you would feel frustrated, though, if it's true. It probably is true. I think he plays golf on a lot of Sundays. Let's keep going. This is a good point. This is a good conversation to maybe a whole show. I said this the other day. Hugh needs to be the CEO head coach and hire an elite offensive coordinator and let him be. It's worked on defense. Not that Hugh's a defensive mind or anything, but it has worked on defense. And I think if you look at a lot of the top 15 teams in the country right now, I think only two or three call plays on one side or the other. And I was a big advocate of, I want Hugh's offense. That's what makes Hugh great. But with all everything that's going on, that's going on in college football, having to maintain your current roster, having to do this, having to do that, I can see where it can be a little bit overwhelming, especially when you're trying to call plays too. And then you're the best recruiter on the staff. You know, I can see where that's an issue. It can be an issue and lead to, you know, calling a timeout with 2 minutes and 1 second left before the 2 minute timeout. Like, I can see how that is something that could happen. So I would, I get it. I can understand that take. It wouldn't hurt my feelings at all if he brought in a real offensive coordinator, gave him the keys, and maybe that offensive coordinator brought his quarterback with him. I don't know who that would be. I don't necessarily have anybody in mind, but that would be something that I would not be mad at. Let's go to here's another one, and this is a good conversation. Get a portal kicker, a portable kicker. I like it. I know he meant portal kicker, but look, here's the thing about Towns. Towns, there was no plans for Towns to kick this year. Towns had no plans to kick this year. Towns was not ready to be a place kicker this year, and he was asked to be a place kicker this year because of the freak things that are happening with Alex McPherson and his issues. I think Towns can be a really good kicker. Okay, I know he struggled. I know his confidence right now is shot. He is a true freshman, and dudes come out of slump sometimes. Okay, now if you're going into next year and Alex cannot get any better, you're probably right. You may have to look for a portal kicker, but I still think Towns can be the guy eventually. I think if you brought in a portal kicker next year, I wouldn't be shocked if Towns beat him out. I think he may have a bounce back, and I wouldn't be shocked if he beat him out. He's still kicking off great. And that's kind of what the plan was for him this year. Let him handle kickoffs. But it just sort of, you know, everything happened the way it did. The freak stuff happened with Towns. All right, here we go. I got Thomas Jones' question. Well, maybe not. I got Marty Yo 26, super chat. Who are the best available quarterbacks in the portal? There's not any yet, Marty. There won't be until after the first couple of weeks in December. So anything you talk about right now is pure speculation and borderline insinuating tampering. So you can't really talk about a lot of the portal quarterbacks at the moment. But yeah, there's not any currently. Let's see. Let's keep going. I just saw on Daniel Rudd. Hey, C5, is Daryl Dapp the GOAT? Yes, he is. He is. Daryl Dapperidge is the GOAT. There's a lot of talk about Jarquez Hunter in the second half. And I got to be honest, I don't know what's going on there. I can understand the lack of carries in the second half because of the limited possessions. But what I don't understand is when you have the ball on your own one-yard line, and he's not in the game. And not only is he not in the game, he's on the sideline with his helmet off. Something's up there. I don't know what it is. And again, I'm totally speculating. Something did not seem right. Something didn't seem right there. So I don't know what it is. But something definitely did not seem sums up. I don't know what it is, but we'll dig into it. We'll figure what it is. Figure out what it is. Bronson Wright. What are the chances we hold on to Donovan Starr? I see UGA picking up in his recruitment. Everybody wants him. That's going to be a tough one. If we lost one, I feel like that one would be. That one will be one that we lost. See, I got Thomas Jones's question. Football 101. I can't find it in here. It's not showing up as a starred tweet. Oh, there it is. Here we go. Found it. Football 101. QB throws, wide receiver catches, Hughes zero for the season, and trick plays for the year. Stop being cute. I could not agree more. One hasn't worked. Can you name one that's worked? I can't think of one. I cannot think of a trick play right now that has worked. And the thing about that one that's frustrating. So, like on the surface, I don't mind trick plays. Okay, I know Thomas hates them, and I'm with you. I'm with you to a certain extent. It wasn't needed at that point in time. You just picked up a first down. The game, you had a ton of time left. I just didn't feel like it was needed right there. Neither team was really moving the ball. I don't know. I just didn't feel like you really needed a I don't feel like you really needed that play right there. And then you put Malcolm in a bind with only one receiver, which that's typically on those plays. It's you've been running that pop sweep to Malcolm Simmons a lot. So if you put a bunch of players out in the route, it kind of gives it away that's what it's going to be. So you sell it to where you only have maybe one wide receiver going out, and they just covered him. They weren't tricked. And then you can't throw it away because then it's intentional grounding. And bless his heart, Malcolm did all he could. Just didn't feel like that was the time. That was the time. This is funny. I'm going to answer a couple more. Connie 4AU, Hughes pressers did not make the fans feel better. Say less, Hugh. And what's crazy is that his presser is only – his post-game presser is only 8 minutes long. So he says a lot. He does. He's very honest. He's very open. And sometimes I think it gets him in trouble, unfortunately. If you're winning, though, nobody cares. But if you're losing, just kind of shut your – you kind of just don't want to hear it. So I get it. I'm with you, Connie. Sometimes just say don't quite say all the things that just pop up into your head. Let's see. See, this is the kind of stuff that pisses me off. Okay. And maybe you did this on purpose. Maybe you said this on purpose. I will make excuses for Hugh. I would love to know what excuse I've made for Hugh tonight. What excuses that we don't understand the definition of that word. I've learned that people don't understand what the definition of excuse actually means. It was awful. The game Saturday was awful on offense. I think I opened the show on the reaction show and said it's becoming harder to defend. It's becoming harder to explain. So I don't know what the hell you're talking about, if I'm being completely honest. So great question. Great comment. Let's see. I think that may be it for tonight. I'm trying to find one more good one to call it a night. And then I like when you're playing golf and you're on the driving range, you don't want to end on that one. You want to end on a good one. So, okay, here we go. Let's end with this one right here. James Root and Walker White play any now, Walker White play any now that the red shirt doesn't matter? It's a really good question, and you're correct. You only have 3 games left, so there's no threat of him playing the 4 games and losing his red shirt. So I don't know. I think you definitely could. You could maybe have some packages for him, especially to run the ball a little bit. But I'm not really sure if there is I'm not really sure if you want to put him in right now. I don't guess it can't really hurt anything. You just don't want to put him in a position to where he it kills his confidence, I guess. And you're playing some pretty tough teams. You got Texas A&M and you got Alabama. And you know they're going to be geared up to stop the run and going to have going to try to make him pass the ball. So I don't know. We'll see. But anyways, guys, I really appreciate you chiming in. Thanks for another great Sunday night. You guys ask a lot of great questions, and we have a lot of fun when we do it. So it's been a tough season. Y'all have hung in there with me, and I appreciate it. This is, again, my first year kind of covering Auburn full time, and it's not been a fun product to cover. It's not, and it's got to get better, but you guys make it fun. You guys make it to where I want to keep going and keep doing it. So thanks for listening. If you like this channel, if you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. We're going to be back every single day. Y'all make sure you tune in tomorrow morning. You'll see the interview with Blake Woodby. He has a lot of great stuff to say, very eye-opening stuff, and really kind of peel back the curtain a little bit behind the scenes. So I hope y'all enjoy that, and we'll talk again every single day this week. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening and drive home safely.